Hello, everyone. Oh my gosh. Welcome to another episode of Playdate. And I am so excited to be here today. I am at one of my most favorite places in New York City, the Peace Food Cafe in the Village, or the East Village. And actually, no, we're in the West Village. And so this is Allison LeBron. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome. I am a facilitator and a coach, and I support people in reconnecting to their childlike wonder. And I love bringing people onto my podcast that inspire me, that I've met throughout, you know, my many adventures, who have also created really unique career paths for themselves, or up to, you know, have really creative projects, interesting creative projects that they're doing. So this podcast is really about inspiring you and empowering you to be a maker, be a creator, create your life, create the dreams that you have. And so today I'm here with the amazing Jennifer Peterson, who I met in a course this past spring, and I was lucky enough to get to do a session with her. She does something very, very unique that I'm going to have her explain to you what it is, but she works as a coach also with horses. And I had such an incredible experience, and I thought, I have to bring her on. I have to have her share about this amazing work that she does that is so unique and so needed in the world. So Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you.
It's so amazing to have you here. Thanks for coming down. I know you came into the city today to do this, and also happy birthday, because I know your birthday just passed. So tell us, like, what is your title, and how do you explain what you do?
So my title officially is Equine Energy Relationship Coach, and that means that I am a coach, I'm a Reiki master, and I am an Equus life coach. So I kind of combined all those three things into that one title. But really what I do is that I help women who are struggling with intimacy and communication in their relationship by helping them transform their mindset and shift their energy, and showing them how to find their authentic voice, create lasting partnerships, and have better sex. And so I do this with the horse, obviously, but I also do it without the horse. But I can say that it's much more fun, and you can speak to this, way more fun with the horse. And horses, why it's really important to have the horse there if you can, is that they mirror your energy, and they actually can spot patterns that you don't see. So we call them blind spots. And they can show you how your energy is showing up when you're actually not even aware of how it's showing up, which is really kind of fun. And so I find it's the fastest form of transformation that I've ever experienced when I was a client. So when that happened to me, I was like, whoa, I need to be able to bring this to people, because it is just amazing. And I love animals. So this was really a natural path. Although if you had asked me a long time ago when I was in my corporate job, if I would be working with horses, I would have been like, you're crazy. So anyway, that's pretty much.
That's amazing. It's so amazing. We're definitely going to dive in a little further in the episode about what you said about the horse being able to see your blind spots. Because as a coach, I know that is probably, that's what stops us all, right? We all have things that we can't see about ourselves that are like really leading or driving our lives. And it just stops us from moving forward, but we can't see it. And you can't change it until you can see it. So I'm going to have you explain a little bit later on how that actually works, because it's pretty cool. I got to experience it, but it's cool. So we're going to take a short little break, and we're going to come back. And in the next segment, I would love to just find out more about how you went from corporate to doing this. Like, what did that actually look like? So we'll see you soon.
And how much time? Like, I don't know.
Hey everyone, we're back, and I'm here with Jennifer Peterson, and I'm so curious, what had you go? I know you worked in corporate, you were in marketing in New York City, and you know, now you have your own business and you're working with horses and doing coaching and supporting women with their relationships and their communication, and doing that with and without horses. So this is a pretty unique transition. What led to this? How did this look?
Well, I would say that I was in advertising for 20 years. So I was a senior executive at an advertising agency, and I worked on many, many clients, and some that were fed my soul and some that sucked my soul. And so I found that the balance of my career was in places that really were making America fat, or selling candy to little babies. But I always knew that there was just something inside me that knew that I wanted to help people and I wanted to do more than that. And I was able to do that on a company called IKEA, where I was actually feeling like I was giving back and having a good time and enjoying my work. And so I was actually working on IKEA, and we had this idea. They became the Life Improvement Store, and we decided, came up with an idea to bring life coaches into IKEA stores. And so I had an experience with a life coach because I volunteered to be a person to be coached. And she probably spent 5 minutes with me and changed my freaking life. Like, wow. Yeah, she got to the sense of what was going on by getting to the truth that was in my body, that I wanted to have a baby and I was married to the wrong person. And so what ended up happening is my whole life changed and I started to write a memoir about it. And I was just taking a little memoir class and I was writing down this experience, and it occurred to me that I could actually become a life coach and I could help people the way this woman helped me. If she could do it in 5 minutes, like, that just, can imagine if you spent like an hour with someone. So I started to look up the information about the type of coaching that she did, which was Martha Beck Life Coach training.
Oh, I love her.
Yes, she's amazing. And so I saw that it was way too much money and way too long. It was almost a year of training and like a lot of money. And I said, I let my inner voice say no. So I shut my laptop, and literally 5 minutes later, I got a call from my HR department, and they were restructuring. So they wanted to restructure me out of this company that I had been with for 20 years, which I was like, whoa, couldn't stop smiling. So really got to be paying attention to when you should be upset, but you're smiling, or you know, you should be smiling, but you're upset. Those moments are really something to pay attention to. So I went down to the HR department to find out what was going on. And they literally were like, I had applied for a sabbatical and they declined it, and because it wasn't the right time, which was totally fine. But they're like, since you applied, we're going to pay you the entire 3 month sabbatical that I had applied for.
Wow.
So they paid me for 3 months salary, besides the fact that I got my severance, which was took me right through my training. So literally the universe had aligned itself to give me what I really truly desired.
Wow.
Within like 5 minutes of me figuring out what I truly desired. So that is like amazingly quick. And that's when you really get clear on what you want, things can just come to you so quickly. And that was one of the, I would say, most magical moments of my life. And so I had to hold down my smile because I didn't want them to think I was overjoyed by this, even though I was. I floated home. So they gave me the money and the time that I needed to take this training.
Wow.
And it was just, I felt like, you just, in your body, you just feel that sensation of just lightness and amazing, like, how did that happen?
Oh my God, what a juicy story. And yes, yes, yes. And I'm so curious. I find, like, for me, often I've had experiences like that too. Not that exact experience, but, you know, these amazing synchronicities where it just felt like something bigger than me was actually supporting me to do what I really wanted to do. And the thing that I noticed, and I don't know if you're a listener out there, if you can connect to this, but it's almost like there's kind of like a few parts to that. And the first part is getting connected to what you really want. And I think for a lot of us, we're not connected to what we really want or what our true desires are, because, you know, we maybe grow up in a system in school that's just like, do this, do that, do it, you know, mom and dad said, or the teacher say, or what's the right thing to be, or all these boxes that we kind of are forced into in our early childhood years. And then we become an adult and we're like, I'm not happy. What's going on? So what would be a tip that you might have for someone that isn't kind of connected to what they really want?
So just one tip, because I have like thousands.
Maybe two.
Okay. So I would say that one of the things that I think connected me to my desires was the writing I was doing. So any creative process would probably work. Mm. But for me personally, I find writing to be the most transformative way that I connect and get everything I want. Is I write it down, I get really specific mm-hmm. about what I'm looking for. That's what I do now. But back then, when I didn't know what I know now, I was just writing about my life and seeing the patterns. So you write, even if you just did a timeline of your life, but I was doing like writing a whole book about my life, and it really helped me see my patterns. It helped me see the moments of awe that were happening, and how I've learned that when you have a moment of awe, it is really when you're connected to source. And that is very profound for me, because I know now, just to go back in my memory to that moment of awe, and that helps me connect more deeply to source, to my desires, to everything. So I would say my first tip is just write. Just write.
Yeah.
Creatively write, or journal about what you desire. And just write it down, even if it's, you're not sure, just see what comes up. So that's my first tip.
Yeah.
My second tip would probably be now, would be just to meditate. If you don't have a meditation practiced, I would start one immediately, because that to me is an amazing way to sort of connect to your inner self, that voice, not the inner critic, the voice that is the inner wisdom.
Yeah.
Because it's just getting quiet and connect to yourself.
Oh,
so juicy. Those are such great tips. And yeah, and I would add, I like writing, but I also connect a lot to just like doodling and drawing, you know what I mean? So like you said, any creative thing, if you're not a writer, maybe it's gardening, maybe it's bike riding, it's like whatever activity that can help you just kind of like get into your flow, you know, and maybe it's dancing, whatever it is. But I mean, I think too, what you said about the writing, it is important to journal in some way and hear our own thoughts and like, you know, hear what we have to say, or maybe even making a list of like, what are 10 memories of times when you were in awe, or you've just felt totally alive and you felt totally excited to be, you know, on this planet and doing what you're doing. That's so amazingly juicy. So, it's just incredible that you just attracted that like perfect amount of money to do your training. So what would you say, what are some of the challenges that you would say, like maybe like one or two challenges that you'd want to share with people that might be thinking about, say, like really following their heart or following their passion, their curiosity in their career?
The first challenge is always your self-talk. So really pay attention to what you are saying to yourself. There's two things that can occur. You can have self-talk that is like, I can do this, I am doing this, and that will get you everything you want when you have that positive sense of self and sense of self-talk. If you start saying to yourself, I can't, or I have to do this, those things are very much victim language. So you can actually switch that and use words like, I choose not to, or I choose to do this. And that way, that's actually a much more empowering way to think about your business, or even when you start your own business. So that would probably be the first, is just to really pay attention to the self-talk. And the other thing is to pay attention to your actions, because you can do things that make you energetically closed for business. And so the self-talk, obviously, if it's negative, it's that you're definitely energetically closed for business. So just to give you a little bit of an example, sometimes I don't think I mentioned this, but I am a mother of a 5-year-old, and so I am the primary caretaker for her, as well as a business person. So sometimes I will want to do something, and then in my mind I'll say, oh, but if someone books that, will I be able to actually execute it? So if starting a book club, I wanted to do a coaching and book club, and it started at 9 o'clock at night. But my daughter doesn't always go to bed at 9 o'clock at night. Sometimes she slips a little later, and sometimes she doesn't like when I'm working, when she's around. So that actually made me energetically closed for business, that thought pattern. And so I stopped taking action towards getting that club to go forward. And so you have to pay attention to your actions. You have to always, inertia, you always need to be in motion with your business. Even if it's a tiny little action. So even if it's just saying to one person what you do for a living every single day, that's enough to keep the momentum. But when you stop doing it for fear, or you stop doing it because you're just not sure, that is when you're sort of energetically closed down for business.
Wow, those are such juicy tips. It's so juicy. I'm totally soaking them in. It's like, yes, yes, yes. So my last question for you is, what are you really excited about? I wanted actually, if you were open to maybe take people through like what would happen if they signed up to do a session with you and or like a coaching, equine coaching session, like kind of like what would that look like? How would that look? And what can they expect?
So that's so interesting a question, because at first I thought, oh, but it depends. Depends on what the person wants to accomplish. So right. I'll give you some examples. Maybe I'll give you two examples of ways I've worked with people. Mm-hmm. So two things happen when someone finds out that I work with horses. First, they'll either say, oh my gosh, that's amazing. I love animals and I love horses. Or they'll say, oh my goodness, I'm so terrified of horses. So when I have someone that's, I'm so terrified with horses, but I like the concept and I would love to get over that fear, then the coaching session looks a little bit different. It will happen maybe where they'll come to the farm. I've had someone come to the farm and be too afraid to come into the stalls. So then we'd stay outside, we'd absorb nature, work on some techniques to reduce the anxiety and the fear, which I have done many, I have so many ways of doing that in my life because I used to suffer from anxiety and now I don't without any medication anymore. So I teach those tools and then I bring the person slowly towards the horse and then we might work through some thought work in front of the horse. And so what happens is that the horse will pick up on your negative thought patterns or they'll pick up on your positive thought patterns and they will have, it's called the language of equus. So you'll see a very relaxed horse. So sometimes their hoof will bend a little bit and you'll see them relax when the person is talking about things that actually makes them relax. Mm. But if they're talking about something that's super upsetting or they're maybe they are struggling with something and they're super negative, you'll see different things. The horse will be very tense or maybe it'll back away or maybe the ears will pin back a little bit depending on what's happening. But then all of a sudden the person will see the shift and they'll start to think more positively and then the horse will start licking and chewing, which is a sign that they feel safe. Mm. And so you can really, many different ways that the horses communicate, but it's not verbal. They can't tell you, but they will be able to show you when they feel safe with you because the idea is that horses are prey animals. And they are looking, they're the most present beings, I believe. They can see all around them, except in front of them and behind them. But they are always aware of what's happening around them in the present moment. And it's a beautiful metaphor for the way we should be living. Mm. And so they're going to pick up on your energy. And when your insides don't match your outsides, you're being incongruent. And that is how predators behave in the wild. They come up to the horse pretending like they want to be friends and then they try to eat them. Mm-hmm. So think about like a bobcat in the wild. That's what's going to happen. And so the idea is for the person to learn how to be congruent, how to make their insides match their outsides. So if you cry in front of a horse because you really feel sad, the horse will totally feel safe and lick and chew and do all these things because you're expressing your emotion authentically. Mm. If you hide that you're upset or you hide your barrier anger, the horse is not going to want to be near you. So say the second way somebody could come to me is that they're not afraid of the horse and they want to have an experience, then it would bring them into either an arena and let the horse, it depends on how much horse experience they have, let the horse run around. Or if they didn't have a lot of horse experience, I would put them into a round pen. And in the round pen, it's a little bit closer. There's not a lot of, there's not as much room as there would be in an arena. Mm. So you can see, as soon as you connect to your truth, whatever you're talking about, whatever that might be, the horse will come and meet you, join up with you. And it is so beautiful to watch. And sometimes a person might be vulnerable. If they're feeling vulnerable, the horse will block me. The horse will block them from me and protect them from me because I'm asking them something that makes them feel vulnerable. Wow. And it's just so beautiful to watch because sometimes people don't even know that they're vulnerable. They don't even know, they're not aware that something is a subject that they don't feel comfortable with. They just feel society makes them feel like they have to talk about something. And then they just feel like, well, they're people pleasers. Oh, she asked me, I must talk about this. But the horse can notice all your energetic things that are coming out of your body, because your thoughts create an energy. They create a feeling. The feeling, you know, emits energy, and then they feel the energy and they know what to do.
Yeah.
And so really I'm just there. The horse is doing all the work. I'm just interpreting what the horse is doing. So it's really wonderful. So I hope that.
Wow. Yeah.
Amazing. It's truly amazing. If you're listening, I got to experience it. We went into the small round pen and it was amazing. It was amazing. We worked both in the stable and then we went to the small round pen. But when I got to do the session with you, I actually got to discover the authentic way to describe what I do. I mean, there's so many ways to describe what coaches do, you know, and facilitators and space holders. And when the horse showed how relaxed it was when I said I support people to reconnect to their childlike wonder, my ego was like, no way, I can't say that. You know, my ego was like, no, like people aren't going to buy, like who would buy that? That's crazy, you know? But the horse was really showing me like energetically, like what's true for me. So it's just so interesting how, like you said, it was a blind spot for me. Like it really was a powerful experience. I mean, of course, you were an amazing translator and facilitator of the whole process too. Without you there, it wouldn't have been possible. So wow. Well, if you're listening and you're curious, you've got to connect with Jennifer. She's in upstate New York, but do you travel at all? Like if people have horses in, you know, around the world, do you travel or do you only work in upstate New York?
So I work in Westchester County, which is about 45 minutes outside of New York City. Okay. And I would travel. I have not done that yet, but actually people travel to me. So I have people coming from Maine. I have people coming from, you know, the tri-state area. So people will drive or fly to come see me.
Awesome. Yeah, I definitely traveled a couple hours drive and it was so worth it. And it's beautiful. I mean, the farm that you have, where you work with the horses is just incredible. And it's a beautiful area. So, and New York City is easy to get to from anywhere in the world. So easy drive. Awesome. Well, we're going to put your information in the show notes so that people can really easily connect to you with your website and Facebook groups and Instagrams and all that good stuff. But thank you so much for taking the time out to come on this podcast. And if you're listening, you know, if you have questions for Jennifer, feel free to email them to me or we'll put down your website. Feel free to contact her if you're just curious, you know, to know more. So thank you so much, Jennifer.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
We'll see you all next time. Bye. Hey everyone, so we're back with one final bonus segment called Following Your Curiosities, or, you know, following what your fascinations, as Jennifer calls it. And it's really about, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, if you want to have a business that is more heart-centered and really connected to your true self, your authentic self, it's important to be connected to your intuition or your gut, whatever you want to call it. So Jennifer wants to share a little story of how the following her own fascinations led her to the equine coaching that she now does.
So thank you so much. I'm really excited to share this with you because I think it's super important to be able to follow your fascinations. So pay really good attention to the things that you love and the things that, or just the things that stand out to you. And one of the things that happened to me when I was in life coach training is that I started to see horses everywhere I went. And if you've been listening, you'll know that that's an interesting thing for me to have followed. And I would see them everywhere. It didn't matter if in a restaurant, I'd see a picture of a horse, or I'd see literally real horses coming down my drive, coming down the street, like where there shouldn't be horses. So it was just really interesting and annoyed me. So I was like, why does this keep happening to me? And so I just kept paying attention to it. And then I was in a meditation. So the other thing is it's important to meditate. And during a guided visualization, during a meditation, I was asked to go to my medicine place, and something was going to meet me and give me something. And so my imagination created this horse, and this horse gave me a slate box. And so what happened is I went home in my meditation, opened up the slate box, and there was a brass ring inside. And it was like, what is this? So I got coached on what this might be. And I was told it was that I was meant to be an equus coach. And I started to cry. And I knew it was true, but it seemed so strange. I had absolutely no experience with horses. I was like, if you told me I was going to coach with a dog, absolutely, I get that, but not a horse. And it was just really an interesting experience. And one of the things that I thought was magical was that I decided, I'm a potter, and I decided to create that slate box and that brass ring in pottery. And it took me a while. It took me about a summer to just like get it. I just wanted it perfect. And it took me a really long time. And then I forgot about it. And I can tell you that I got it fired and painted and everything literally a month before I actually started my Equus life coach training. So I feel all the money that I needed to come came after that. And like all the universe just organized itself to make that dream happen for me. And I think there was something with me taking the thing that came from my dream and making it a reality. And the other thing that I'll share, which is also super magical, is that the horse that came to me in my meditation is actually a real horse. And I was like, I went and I decided to pursue this, and I learned how to be, how to work with horses. I found this amazing opportunity to volunteer for Access Equestrian, which is a special, it helps kids with special needs through equine therapy. And the woman who owns the program became my horse mentor. She taught me everything she knows about horses. And the first day I walked into the barn, I saw this horse, and it struck me because it looked exactly like this horse from my meditation. But I thought, you know what? That's just, horses must all look alike. And during my training, she taught me that every horse has markings that are different. It's like fingerprints on a human being. So this horse happens to have a white star and a snip, it's called. So it's a very unique markings on her forehead. And so I was totally like, whoa, how did that happen? But I wasn't going to share that with her until I got to know her a little bit better. And after I knew her, I shared it with her, and she's like, oh my goodness, I totally believe that. So it's almost like there's a wanting and a knowing. And I believe that when you want something so badly, not graspy kind of badly, it's just something that your heart really desires, it's meant to happen. You'll when you connect to your intuition, it will come to you, and you'll just need to learn to follow the signs.
It's an amazing story, and I'm sure, you know, people that listen to this podcast are connected to this kind of, you know, they've got their intuition, and it's always so empowering and so amazing to hear people share stories like this, because it just reminds us, like, yeah, this is true. We are being guided by something bigger than us, even if it's our own heart, you know, and like the deep core of our heart that wants us to connect to who we truly are and what we're here to do. So thank you so much for sharing that story. It's so beautiful. So share with us your stories. I'd love to hear as many stories like this, synchronistic stories and, you know, being guided by something bigger than you. So we can't wait to hear your own story, and we'll see you all soon. Bye.